He is not dead. He is alive. We have been talking through the month of March about this important truth that you and I need to make sure that we understand and that we hang on to. That the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection was God's idea. That it was not something that was conceived in the mind of wicked men who simply hated Jesus Christ because of the great works that he was doing. No, this was God's idea that from the inception of his birth, that he was coming to give his life as a ransom and a payment for many. You don't need to miss that, because if you think it was because of wicked men, you may try to attribute God to just saying, I'm going to use this and make something good of it. No, it was God's idea that this is the way that he would redeem fallen mankind. And we have been thinking about this from this perspective. It was a well-executed plan. Amen. And you know that a well-executed plan yields the results of what it was intended to do. And so God had a well-executed plan for saving the world. God had a well-executed plan for giving life to mankind. God had a well-executed plan for reconciling lost people back to himself and then reconnecting and reuniting them. And most importantly, God had a well-executed plan for administering his grace to you and to me. Amen? It was God's plan. And you and I need to remember this is something that God was up to, and it was for our benefit. I want to read for us a scripture today, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And in fact, I would like to invite you to read that scripture along with me. Find it in your Bible or on your particular device, Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 9. Portion of a letter written by the Apostle Paul that gives us a reminder and an idea of who we were before Jesus did what he did and before you and I accept him for who he is. Amen. If you found that on your device, I would like for you now not to read it from your device, but to read it from the screen. If you don't mind, can you just stand to your feet with me and let's read this together? All right, we're going to begin with verse number 1, and it reads as follows. Let's read together. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you follow the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Amen. You may be seated. Again, I want to talk using these scriptures. I want to talk for just a short while about God's well-executed plan to administer grace. God's well-executed plan to administer grace. As we read that, there were several occasions where the word grace showed up in that reading. It says, you have been saved by grace. It says, not by works, not by anything else, but by grace. And so it would behoove us to understand then what grace is, wouldn't it? Grace is God's undeserved and his unearned favor. That's why he says, not by works, so that no one can boast. Many of you have heard this acronym. It says that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. You've heard that before, that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Here's the truth. God's desire is to lavish his riches upon you. That's his desire. But remember, God is also a just God. He's not just a loving God. He is also a just God. In order for him to allow anyone to dwell in his presence, he needs to make sure that they are cleaned up and fit and ready to hang out with him. The only way that that can happen, the only way that that did happen, was through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus made it such that anyone who would put their hope, their trust in him, would be made clean and ready to dwell in God's presence. In response to that, then God lavishes his riches upon us, the recipient, the one who walks by faith. He lavishes, which means that he doesn't just ration out his riches. He lavishes it. He doesn't just sprinkle a little bit on you. He douses you like you've been hit with a water faucet or like a fire hydrant that's been opened up full force on you. He showers you with his grace. Unless you mistake yourselves and think that you've earned what he's given out to you, he reminds you that no, it is not by your works. It is not by your good deeds. It is simply because he has loved you beyond recognition. He has loved you, and Christ has paid the price for you so that then he is able to give you his grace. Grace is undeserved. Grace is unearned. Grace is a gift. Amen. It's a gift. That's good news for you and for me, because here's the truth of the matter. I don't know that I can afford to buy anything out of God's store. Maybe I'm the only, there are some stores I can't shop at. I can only Google and look at the website and see what they have to offer. And then I can say, wow, that's nice. You know, there are some folks who go to New York for shopping. They move along, what is it, Fifth Avenue? Is that what it is? See, I don't even know. I'm glad I got a witness back there. Somebody know. The place where they go buy what they call them, those red bottom shoes. These ain't red. Because there are some places, there are some stores where I can't shop without putting myself in debt that I can't pay. Okay, let me be honest. I can go there. I can take a card that has my name on it. I can go into a store and I can make a purchase. And I can walk out of there feeling good about what I just got. I can even go and I can buy Miss Manita Love purses. I can go buy her one of those purses that she can strap across her shoulder. And y'all be thinking she got it going on. Here's the only problem. Next month, the mortgage is going to be due. The electricity bill is going to be due. The water bill is going to be due. And then all of a sudden, if I choose to pay for that stuff that I walked out of, we might be sitting with no lights. Because I've created a debt that I couldn't pay. Which means that I've extended myself beyond what I can afford, which means that something has to give. Amen? Something has to give. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather have lights, camera, in action. Amen? Amen. I'd much rather have my water running. Amen? Than to say that, ooh, I shopped at such and such store. I said all of that just to say that I don't know that I can afford to shop in God's store if it were not for his grace. Remember, we're talking about a God who sits high and who looks low. We're talking about a God who resides in heaven. You remember what the kid said, that the goal was for heaven, God's perfect home, his place for you and me. Heaven is that place where they say the streets are paved with gold. I don't know if I can afford to buy out of a store from someone who has streets paved with gold. I'm just saying. Talk about the gates are made of pearls. What? And so in his kingdom, what comes from him costs way too much for my limited budget. And so, because he wants to lavish it up on me, what he had to do was make provisions to extend his grace. And remember, grace is a gift. What he gives is not measured by what I have in my wallet. It's not measured by what I have in my bank account. It's measured by his generosity, and it's a gift. You know this, when you work each week, when you put in that 40 hours, that 50 hours, and some of you who really love to work your 80-hour weeks, when you receive your paycheck, that's what they owe you. It's not a gift, is it? You don't go around talking about, ooh-wee, they gave me a gift. Let them not show up with that thing. You be like, don't you owe me? Where my stuff at? Where is my money? Amen? Because it's not a gift, because you have said, I have worked for this at a rate that I agreed, now pay me for my labor. But when God gives to us, it is not a payment that he owes us. Therefore, it is unearned. And it's not like we've been so good that we deserve a little bonus. Therefore, it's undeserved. And so it is a gift. Grace is God's gift to you and me. So first, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Somebody had to pay the bill. It was Christ who paid the bill. But then grace is also a gift, but it is a gift that is received as Christ is exalted. It is the gift that God offers and extends to you and me when we learn how to exalt Jesus Christ. The first order of business of exalting Jesus Christ is to acknowledge him for who he is. Amen. You exalt Jesus by identifying who he is, by acknowledging who he is, and by making known who he is. So to exalt him means that you identify that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the living one. He is just like God. He was fully man and fully God. So to exalt him means that I must identify him for who he is. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God who came that he might pay the price for mankind. Jesus is the exact representation of God. All of God's holiness, all of God's attributes were in Jesus Christ. And when you look, when men looked upon Jesus, they had a glimpse of what God looked like. Not by his physical structure, but they had a chance to see the character of God at work. They had a chance to experience the love of God at work. And they had a chance to receive the compassion of God because Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man. To exalt Jesus means I identify first who he is. Not only was he fully God and fully man, but get this, Jesus was perfect without sin. There was no error, there was no flaw, there was no mistake in Jesus. So to exalt him means that you don't just call Jesus a good teacher. You don't just call Jesus another prophet. No, no, you put Jesus in the class where he belongs. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who was without sin, never ever made a mistake. That was Jesus. To exalt him means that you identify him for who he is and you recognize him for what he has done. So how is it on earth that a man who is fully God, who was perfect and without sin, has to suffer such a mean and cruel death by the hands of others? It is normally those who have to suffer death. They've committed a crime. Not Jesus. He was innocent. He didn't do anything but go around healing and setting people free. The only thing he did was go around and he told others about this amazing God who loved them so much that he sent him so that he could show God's love to them. Jesus never mistreated children. Jesus never mistreated women. Jesus never mistreated the downcast. Jesus never took advantage of those who were on the lower totem pole of life. Jesus never, ever did that. Jesus never misused his power. Jesus never flaunted who he was in front of others. Jesus never tore down others so that he could be built up. That wasn't Jesus. No, what Jesus did was he came to serve. And as a result of that, Jesus would find himself washing his followers' feet so that he could show them how they were to love others. That was Jesus. So to exalt Jesus, you begin to identify him for who he is and for what he did just for you and me. An innocent man who never hurt or harmed anyone, but always went about healing to make things better. Gave his life for a bunch of people who didn't deserve it. That's called grace. That's grace. The scripture that we said, that we read at the beginning, said that while we were yet in our sins, that we were transgressors, which means that we were working in opposition to God, which meant that you and I, those who sacrificed him, were sinners. That we don't get to claim the status that Jesus claimed. Jesus was able to say that he was perfect. You and I can't say that. Because there is no individual who is perfect. For all have fallen short of the glory of God, which means that all have sinned. There is no perfection in you. Whether it was a white lie or a big fat lie, it was still a lie. Amen? Whether you let that word slip out of your mouth, or you meant to say what you said, it was still a foul word that came out of your mouth. Amen? Mm-hmm. There's no one who is without sin. And so Jesus gave his life for those who were not perfect, but who were in need. And he didn't do it on the basis of what we deserved. He did it on the basis of what we needed. And he expressed for us a great love that has to be received as a gift. Grace is a gift that has to be received. When you and I receive it, when we exalt Jesus, God pours upon us his favor and his riches. And so it was God's plan that he would give Jesus as a payment and as a ransom so that everyone who acknowledged who Jesus is would then be able to receive his grace. Let me share with you why grace is so important and why you and I need it. Grace is important is because we live in a world right now that is upside down. In other words, we live in a world that is not fair and that is not just. We live in a world that is not fair and not just because we live among people that are not fair and not just. Amen? We live in a world right now where our favor is ruled by how much you have. Amen? Justice is ruled by how much you have. Amen? We live in a world right now where righteousness takes back seat to what is it going to cost me? And so for you and me who live in a world where you have the enemy of your soul running rampant, what you and I, what we need is grace to compensate for what we can't do on our own. We need grace to show up when there is injustice. Amen? We need grace to show up when sickness begins to ravage our bodies. We need grace to show up when it seems like we don't have enough ends or enough to make the ends meet. Amen? We need grace to show up when relationships are broken and it seems like they can't be restored. We need grace to show up when I am so low on myself that I can't receive the encouragement from someone else. We need grace to show up when I don't view myself as God views me and I think of myself less than who he made me to be. We need grace to remind us that we are not alone, but that we have a creator God and a savior, Jesus Christ, who has come to redeem us and restore to us our rightful place. We need grace because in this world, we're going to have trouble. But thanks be to God for grace. Grace reminds us that trouble don't last always. Grace reminds us that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That's why we need grace. We need grace because sometimes we get tired and we get weary. Sometimes in this world, we want to stop running the race and we need grace to come along and give us a push and give us a shove. And when we can't move on our own, we need grace to say, hop on my back and I'll carry you. That's why you need grace, because in your own strength, you can't make this journey alone. And God said, I have sent you grace. And the reason that it is so important that you exalt Jesus by acknowledging who he is and what he has done is because grace comes in the form of a person, and his name is Jesus. That when you begin to exalt him, what he does is he starts to walk with you so that you are not alone. And when you've got Jesus walking with you, he makes all the difference in the world. Because if he is on my side, he's more than the whole world against me. If Jesus is my banner, there is no attack that can come against me that will be victorious. When you've got Jesus walking with you, you have more than enough. And so you exalt Jesus because Jesus is grace. Oh yeah, that's where it shows up. It says that he came and grace and truth was found in Jesus. That when you are going through difficulties and not knowing how you're going to make it, the answer is found in Jesus. Amen. It's found in Jesus. He reminds you and he reminds me that he is more than enough to carry us, to wipe away our tears, to rock us late in the midnight hour, to deliver us and to keep us and to sustain us. He reminds us that he is sufficient, that he can stand against any enemy that presses up against you, because he is more than enough. Brothers and sisters, on this resurrection day, I want to remind you that it was God's well-executed plan that said that if you would put your hope in Jesus Christ, that what he would give you in exchange is grace. He'll give you grace. Oh, that's good news for me. Let me tell you why that's good news for me. Because first of all, what that means is that when I have grace, I have forgiveness of sins. Oh, that's good news. Amen. As I said, you and I can't claim what Jesus claimed. He was perfect. I already know I'm not perfect. Amen. But when I exalt Jesus and acknowledge him for who he is, that he is the Son of God who came to give his life, who died for you and me, but did not stay dead because God raised him from the dead. When I acknowledge that, then I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now, again, my sins have been forgiven. But wait a minute, it gets better. They have not just been forgiven. He takes them away. He removes. Y'all good. Yeah. See, y'all can tell about the stuff you've done. I can't tell you what I've done. See, there's some stuff I can't tell you. Amen. That's the kind of stuff I get excited about, is the fact that the stuff that I can't tell you, I don't have to tell you because he took it away. It's the kind of stuff that if he had not taken it away, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. I know y'all don't understand that. I know you so good. I know you've always been on the up and up. I know you ain't never misbehaved. I know y'all. I know I'm up here by myself. It's okay. Yeah. Paul, I'm like Paul. Paul said he was the worst of sinners. Mm-hmm. Yeah. sinner. Man, I was trying to win the contest. I know you don't understand that. I know y'all good. But it's not until you acknowledge how bad you were that you can really appreciate the grace that God has given you. Amen. If you stay in denial, like you all of that in a bag of chips, if you stay in denial, like you got a halo over your head, if you stay in denial, like you the best little thing that ever walked the face of the earth, you will never really appreciate what he has done for you. But when you start to acknowledge the truth of who you were without him, then you will start to appreciate the grace that he lavished upon your life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then when you start to acknowledge that, you will then become a grace giver, because you will say, my, he did that for me? And I didn't deserve it. So first, I'm thankful that his grace forgives me of my sin. But this is what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He didn't just cover up your sin. He took it away. Yeah, yeah. You ever had guests coming over for an evening or for a holiday or something like that? They come over, and when you have guests coming over, what do? You try to clean up and make your place all presentable. You do what you need to do to get everything taken care of. You even dust in those places where you've never dusted before. You're trying to make it look good because you've got guests coming over. But in the midst of trying to make it look good, you also have that one junk drawer, or that junk closet. That you take, amen, and all of the external stuff that you make and look good, you take and you hide it in the junk drawer, or you throw it in the junk closet with the expectation, ain't nobody gonna go in the junk drawer, ain't nobody gonna go in the junk closet, this is what they need to see. Well, God didn't take your sin and put it in a junk drawer or a junk closet just so that it's covered up. He took you and he cleaned you up and he washed away and dusted in those places that needed to be dusted, washed behind your ears. Amen. Yeah, yeah. He took care of all of those areas, even though no one may ever see them. He says, you know. And so because you know, he said, I'm going to take care of it, because I don't want you to have guilt on your conscience. I don't want you to have condemnation. I want you to be free. And so he forgave you of your sins, and then he took it away. And he describes it this way. He says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed your sins from you. And brothers and sisters, can I tell you that because of God's grace, because he forgave you, and because he took your sins away, can I encourage you to stop going and getting them and bringing them back? Can I encourage you? He took them away. Stop looking for them. Stop going to get them and reminding yourself of this is who I was, and walking in it, and allowing condemnation to cover you. No, every time that sin pops up in your mind, remind your sin of what took place. Say, you're not welcome here anymore. There are no more vacancies for you, because I have now made Jesus Lord of my life, and he has taken up all the space. You can't come in. You're not welcome. I'm not going to give you any time or space in my mind. I'm not going to allow you to occupy unrented, unearned space in my thoughts. You've got to go. You've got to remind yourself that because of his grace, you have been covered by his blood. And that is no longer an issue between you and God. And if it's not an issue between you and God, can't nobody else bring it before you and indict you. So we've been forgiven, our sins have been taken away. What grace does is it makes us whole. Grace, His grace, makes us whole. That means that now I begin to understand what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. For it says that we are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us to do. I begin to see myself now the way God sees me. I was created in His image to do good works. I have been empowered by His Spirit to do good works. I am now an ambassador for the kingdom, and I have now been charged with the ministry of reconciliation because I have been restored to God. I can now restore others to God. All of a sudden, I have a value that I didn't have before because I am being made whole, and all of that stuff that was intended to break me, now God will use it to bring glory and honor to His name. His grace makes me whole. No longer empty, no longer forgotten, no longer by myself. I have been made whole. Brothers and sisters, when you and I exalt Jesus by acknowledging who He is, His grace comes and fills up every empty area of our lives. And He says, now, walk with me. And as you and I walk with Him, we will experience victory like that which was demonstrated when they put Jesus Christ in the tomb. Death could not hold Him. Amen. He got up. He says, if He got up and grace is walking with you, He says He has good news for you. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 17, His good news is this, is that you now will reign with Him. He says, for if by the trespass, of the one man, He's talking about Adam, that death reigned through that one man, Adam allowed death to enter into humanity. He says, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? How much more, because grace is with you, will you walk in victory? How much more, because grace is with you, will you reign? Can I tell you that if you're walking in a defeated life today, it's because you're not allowing grace to reign in your life. But if you will allow grace to reign in your life, He'll take you from that defeated status and remind you that you are victorious, that you are more than a conqueror, that no matter what has happened, that He still causes all things to work together for your good, and you can experience victory in Jesus. He says, because of grace, you win. Oh, it may look like you're defeated. You may feel like you're defeated, but you win. They took Jesus off the cross. He was dead. He had stopped breathing. He had laid His head in His shoulders and He said, it is finished. When He said it was finished, that was good news for you and me, because He was saying, I'm taking care of the debt that they have. It's finished. This blood that I've shed is going to cover them and wash them and clean them up. These beatings, these stripes on my back for their healing is going to make them whole. He said, it's finished. And when He stopped breathing, they took Him off the cross and they put Him in a tomb because He was dead. It looked like it was over. It looked like that was the end of the story. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is good news for you and me, because when you look at your situation and you think it's over, when you look at your situation and you feel like there is no way, all you got to do is remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because when it looked like it was over, when it looked like He was done, it says, on the third day, God raised him from the dead. On the third day, he who was dead was not dead any longer because God had given him life and raised him from the dead. And it said that death could not hold him. It tried with his grip, but it could not hold him because he was too strong. He was too mighty. He was too powerful. And here's the good news. If death couldn't hold him and he's walking with you, what thing that has you can keep him from setting you free? Can I just go ahead and tell you, there's not one. You name it, he can set you free. You name it, he can break the yoke. He can break the chain. He can deliver because he is all powerful, because he is mighty. And when grace is on your side, when grace is in your corner, when grace is walking with you, grace gives you victory. Grace helps you overcome. Grace helps you declare, I am victorious. Grace will put a smile on your face, even though everything ain't all together yet, because you know with grace, it's going to be all right. Grace helps you know that even though it's hard, his grace, he is sufficient to keep me through the difficult times. Therefore, I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will be happy because I know my deliverance is coming. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that Jesus died that you might live. And grace has come to reign with you to give you victory. And because of his power, there is nothing on this earth that is able to stop him from working in your circumstances and your situations to give you both life, to give you freedom and deliverance. Can you give God a big hand clap of praise and celebrate the fact that you, if you trust in Jesus, are the recipient of grace, and that is a gift that you didn't have to pay for. It's already been taken care of. Debt paid in full. Benefits unlimited. Open up and receive from him that which he wants to give. Amen.